All right, my friends, welcome into the fifth hour of the best high school football coverage anywhere in these United States. Welcome to the Game Blitz. Myself, Elijah Campbell, Kenny behind the glass right there. All kind of excitement tonight. Great games, lots of things happening, lots of switching within the region. So much fun, and we got a lot of finals. Here you go right now. Kenny, hit it, brother. We had games played last night, but these are games tonight. They're all finals. Beach over Springfield, 42-10. BGA beat Republic, 64-0. Brentwood over Franklin, 7-0. Brentwood Academy over Cornerstone Christian Church, somewhere in America, 47-7. Centennial, big win over Ravenwood, 28-24. Clay County beat Scott, 53-7. Collinwood over Richland, 33-28. Huntland over Community, 20-6. Creekwood, big win over Greenbrier, 30-6. NBA beats Ensworth, 35-17. Fairview over Camden, 56-0. Giles County beats Columbia, 49-28. Gordonsville over Trousdale, 35-0. Watertown beats Harpeth, 26-0. Hendersonville, in the last minute, beats Shelbyville, 40-34. Shelbyville remains winless. There we go. Green Hill beats Hunter's Lane, 35-0. Independence over Summit, 26-21. Cascade over Joe Burns, 34-0. Lipscomb over Knoxville Catholic, 42-0. Moore County of Loretto, 62-42. Nolensville wins in a dramatic, exciting action over Page, 27-21. Macon County wins an exciting action over Stowe Memorial, 35-34. Sycamore beats Cheatham County, 17-14. White County over Hillsborough, 35-21. Waverly over White House Heritage, 48-13. Wilson Central with a big win over Station Camp, 39-30. Henry County beats Paducah Tillman, and Cumberland County over Livingston, 7-0. Let's go back to the 102.5 game line, phone line here on the Game Blitz. Let's bring in Wade Neely, who's on the call of the Giles County Columbia game tonight. Wade, what's happening, brother? Wade, you better be there. I know how to get down to Giles County. 65 straight down. You drop off.
He knows where you live, Wade.
We know how to get down to Giles County, brother. We can get you down there. One coach, before we get Wade back on real quick, Elijah, and we bring him back on, we'll get him on here, is Coach Kreisky at Centennial. I can't wait to talk to him because what a big win, huge win, Matt Kreisky over at Centennial tonight. Really just a big win for them.
Oh, a huge win because we've been talking about the region standings all night, and we've been kind of gushing over how much fun this one is specifically, or this region has been, because of the not just top heaviness of it, Joe, but the cannibalism at the top, right? So yeah. This win tonight puts Centennial at 3-1. Well, Centennial's only region loss came to Independence. Independence won tonight. They're 3-1 in the region. Their only region loss comes against Ravenwood, I believe. Nope. I can go back and look, but there's one, two, three, four teams,
right?
All with one loss, all to each other. Brentwood's only loss was to Ravenwood in the region. Centennial's only loss to Independence in the region. Independence's only loss to Brentwood in the region. Now Ravenwood's only loss in the region is to Centennial.
All right, I'm going cross-eyed.
All beating each other. Oh, it's incredible. And then in the last couple weeks, so everybody's gonna be off next week, right? Then there's a non-region game for every team after that. So that sets up in the last week for Ravenwood to go at Independence and then for Centennial to go at Brentwood. And now I've already mapped out the scenarios for each team of what has to happen to win the region.
Well done. All right, let's go back to the phone now with our good friend Wade Neely on the call of the Giles County Columbia game tonight. Wade, are you there now?
Yeah, good to be with you, fellas.
Don't let that happen again. All right, tell me what happened, how Giles County got it done. It was close for a while until Giles County pulled it out 49-28.
Yeah, really close game early. Columbia's got that great wing T offense, and you guys know how that offense can click at times, and they struck first early, but Giles County got a big special teams answer. They took the ensuing kickoff 90 yards to the house. First of three touchdowns on the night for their really talented junior running back, Zorion Randolph, and kind of just kept trading blows in the first half. But as Giles County got a little bit of a lead, second half they were able to kind of put some pressure on them by getting the ball first, coming down and scoring. And then, as we kind of alluded to, once you kind of get in that wing T mode, we're trailing, it's really hard to come back. And it was too much, too little, too late for Columbia kind of down the stretch there. So Giles pulled away. Big win down the stretch for the Bobcats.
Hey, I got to ask. You guys are up in Middle Tennessee all the time. Do you guys rent a house or something? You're up here so much.
Man, you know, the joke is Giles County, they're a 3A team, but tonight was their fifth game versus 5A competition, and they improved to 3-2. Their only two losses on the season were Page and Nolensville, who obviously slugged it out tonight. So Giles County is an unofficial member of that region in 5A, is
right.
Like a joke. But, yeah, man, they played well, and they got a good win tonight.
All right, so Elijah's got a question moment. I'm going to look at real quick. You got Sequatchie County coming up Thursday night. I guess you got – this is it, right? I mean, this is the biggest game of the year so far?
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. You know, Giles County played Page. They played Nolensville. But with all due respect, as great as those teams are, in a weird way, of course, the region games are the ones that count. And Sequatchie County is undefeated in the region. I think a lot of folks would tell you they're the second-best team, probably behind Giles County. Giles County, first ever meeting last year, took care of business pretty easily on the road. But until you can get that win, you know, nothing is settled. And so if they were to somehow stumble next week, that would be a really unfortunate way to turn things late in the year for Giles, because they played so well. But as you guys have touched on with all these great scores tonight, if they don't come out and take care of business versus Sequatchie, that is your region championship game next week.
Yeah, a lot of pressure on Giles County to be able to get that win. Wade Neely's on the line with us right now. And Wade, I mean, this has been a fascinating team, not just because they've had to play a loaded 5A schedule outside of their 3A Region 4 schedule, but one thing I've noticed too is they've played in a lot of close games, and some of those, like the first game of the year, Lincoln County gave them a good game, and Giles County kind of has another gear, and they were able to pull away. They had a really good game from Columbia. You mentioned how close it was until Giles County hit that extra gear that they have that I don't think a lot of other teams in 3A, maybe with the exception of like East Nashville, actually have. So what makes this Giles County team so special in the fourth quarter, where when things kind of get tough, they can separate themselves?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And I tell you what, this is a team that went to the semifinals last year. They've got a lot of talent that played a ton of games last year as underclassmen that are now kind of battle-tested. And that's kind of been the fun thing to watch. This is a team that gets better as the season has gone along and as the game goes along. If they come out and they're playing well early, you know, it's one thing. But they're a team, even versus Page, they were down 35-7, and you're thinking, okay, you know, this is not their night. They're going to pack it in. Had Page kind of on the ropes a little bit in the second half there. They had a touchdown in and out of their fingertips that would have made it a three-point game in the fourth quarter. And so they're just beaming with confidence when that second half rolls around. And I don't know if it's something in the water down here in Giles County, but they just got that little extra mojo. It seems like when the going gets tough, they just kind of rise to the occasion. And one other interesting thing about their schedule is they got to play Cleveland, a 6A team, on the road later this year.
Ugh.
And as you guys know, Cleveland got that massive win versus
wow.
Maribel last week. So they've got a wild, wild schedule, and it's – their region is, you know, not the toughest by any stretch, but it's been a lot of fun to broadcast their games because their non-conference is loaded.
Well done. Wade Neely, the voice of Giles County. Thanks, brother. We appreciate you, man, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
All right. Thank you, fellas. Y'all have a good evening.
All right. We'll take a break here on the Game Blitz. On the other side, we have Coach Chris Hughes from Fairview, Coach Josh Krause from Green Hill, plus more coaches throughout the show. We're here till midnight right here. This is the Game Blitz brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy on 102.5, 106.3. The Game.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
I love it. Great music to bring in the great coach from Fairview High School, Coach Chris Hughes, whose football team has become one of the hottest teams in all of Middle Tennessee. He joins us now on the Game Blitz phone line. Coach, congrats on the big win over Camden tonight.
Thank you, Big Joe. I appreciate it, man. I hope you guys are doing good up there.
56-0. You've now won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of your last 7. You're 6-2 now. rolling on. Tell me what's happening with your team, because now you're putting these points up now.
Yeah, we're not playing Paige. That's one thing. That's good. You know, that game with Noblesville tonight was a barn burner. So they're two really good teams. But our schedule's getting a little better, and I think our guys are feeling a sense of urgency. You know, it's getting that time of year. We're trying to peak for the playoffs. And I feel like in years past we've gotten – We played, even when the years we beat Paige, we're just peaking too early. And right now, we're clicking on all cylinders. So offensively, defensively, and special teams, they were playing well tonight. So it was a complete game. It was senior night. It was a great time. And of course, Fairview had it packed. It was a great atmosphere.
Yes, and uniforms look good. All right, that was your last home game, right? Now are we on the road?
We're on the road. We got a week off for fall break. So I didn't go to Jefferson's tonight, although it's packed out there. But I came home because my daughter leaves with a friend for Florida. You know, I'll be staying here and practicing football a couple of days, but she's on fall break, so came home to see her off.
Look at you. Elijah?
I'm trying to. My wife's making me be a good father. I'm trying. During this time of year.
Coach Chris Hughes, good father and good coach for Fairview. Team got a big 56-0 win tonight over Camden. And, Coach, you have the open week this week, and you look at the schedule. I mean, Sycamore, who's had some ups and downs this year, but if you look at the standings right now, they're still 2-2 in the region, right below you guys in Waverly. And then at the very end, you have the big one with Waverly, a team that still is yet to lose in region play. They're 5-1. I think the game with White House Heritage is final, but they were winning. So we'll go ahead and say they're 6-1. And 4-0 in the region. But how big is this last stretch of two games here in terms of accomplishing what you guys set out to accomplish all the way back in the summer?
Well, this is huge, and we have a big poster board up on our door in the locker room that has all those games in a row, and we've scratched out those region opponents. We know we have to win the region to get to where we want to go in the playoffs. So those last two games with Sycamore, those two names have not been crossed out. We've crossed out the other ones on the way. And we're hoping to cross those two out, especially that last game with Waverly, because they embarrassed us on TV the last game of the season last year. So that one's been circled on our calendar since the end of the game last year. And Waverly is really good again, and we always have great games with them. We got to go there. But our guys are stoked and ready, and we're getting better every week, and that's what you want this time of year.
Absolutely. And then, of course, you look at the last 3 weeks, too, a 41-7 win, a 30-6 win, a 56-0 win. How do you kind of balance going into a bye week when your team's on such a roll like that, where it almost kind of feels like you don't want to have to take that break just because you are playing so well?
Well, you rest your body because they're beat up right now. I mean, you play that many games in a row, and, you know, Layton running so hard and Crawford and the linemen just – I mean, everybody's sore. So having that week for their body to heal and get their mind right and healthy and ready, I love the bye week because I feel like it's a refresher. It's almost like you were off work for a week and now you come back, you got more energy. So I think they should give you and Joe a vacation and let y'all come back, and then y'all will be fresher on the show. So, but anyway, it's good for our guys to step away from football for a little bit, have some family time. We'll get a couple practices in, you know, to stay sharp. But it's more important that we get right back in that groove and don't miss a beat when they get back. And tonight, I will say Layton ran hard. He had a couple touchdowns. Crawford Claxton was awesome. But Mays threw two of his best balls tonight. He's developing into a real threat throwing the ball, which is making us really tough on the offensive side.
Talking to Chris Hughes, head football coach at Fairview. All right, so you talk about the bye week, how it's coming and it's refreshing like that. Well, what other benefits of it? I mean, is it mentally, does it help to like step away for a little bit? Because now you guys have been going strong since July the 11th. So that's 3 months now. Is it good to get that mental break?
Shoot, and you think, Joe, before that they were in the weight room 3 days a week. So it's been going since January. So this is, you know, we had a dip period in the summer, but since July 11th, like you said, right after the dip period, we've been at it. And I think it's good for them just for bodies to heal. I know my guys are going to stay sharp and come back ready. I know sometimes that puts a lull in it. And I hate playing a region game right after a bye week because you don't know. You know, you got to wake up. I don't want to sleep through the first half like we've done a few games this year.
All right.
But it's really cool. You know, Joe, I'm doing things to keep it interesting. And we had a Connor Ferris ran a tackle reverse through a pass for an extra point tonight, completed it, and he looked like Jared Lorenzen running around back there. So, you know, we had some fun, and we'll put some plays in over fall break that'll energize them and get them excited about coming back so they get a chance to run those.
All right, before I let you go, can I send you some more plays?
Joe, I ran your play, and we got 27 yards on it. I just want you to know it worked. It was one for one. And like we said, if our receiver would have cleared out a little more, it might have been a touchdown. But I ran it in the middle of the field. When you send me a play, I'll put it in. That's how we do it. Look how good my guys ran it. It looked almost just like Eastern.
It did. I got mad because the receiver was jogging. I was like, come on, man. Yeah,
he hurt
that out.
He hurt his ankle.
Okay.
He had hurt his ankle, and we left him in too long. And I defend him a little bit, but we still have that in, you know. And I really like it. It's called Bunch Big Joe.
I love it.
Called Bunch Big Joe.
Oh, Coach, you're the best.
The one we ran tonight was called Ferris Wheel. It was a reverse to our left tackle, and he threw it, and it was on point. We have one called War. We have so many different names. It's real catchy. It's awesome because I'm playing with such smart kids, Joe. They can, like, you could come out and show them a play, and they could run it the next Friday. I'm telling you.
I love it. I love it. We got Coach Josh Crouch from Green Hill up next, so we'll try to get some of his trick plays too. Coach, thank you.
Well, tell Josh he can't beat me in flag football.
We'll let him know. Coach, thank you. We'll talk to you down the road. Thank you.
All right. See you.
All right. Let's go back to the phone. Let's bring in the Green Hill head football coach, Josh Crouch. Coach, can you not beat Chris Hughes in flag football?
Really hard act to follow when you got Chris Hughes on there. Absolute legend, guys. Absolute legend.
Oh, that's great. Coach, congratulations on the win tonight at Hunter's Lane. I don't care who you're playing, what the score is. Anytime you get a region win, that's huge. You guys got the job done tonight.
Yeah. You know, it's big for us to be able to accomplish what we've gotten in our sights. But, you know, the region, I thought this year is really, you know, kind of balanced and got some really good football teams in it. So, you know, we coming down to the wire here, we're trying to take care of business and get our spot in the playoffs.
Talking with Coach Josh Crouch from Green Hill. Big 35 zip win over Hunter's Lane on the road tonight. And Coach, obviously a big win because it's a region win, but it's also a big win because you guys have a little bit of a losing streak. You had that really close, tough loss at White County, which isn't an easy drive on the road. Had another road loss at East Nashville, an elite East Nashville team. And then you have to go on the road again, play Hunter's Lane tonight. But what does it say about your team to be able to kind of bounce back after two tough losses and then get the job done in a much needed region game?
Yeah. You know, and we taught our kids last week seeing East Nashville and knowing what they've done. And, you know, I think they're another, you know, state championship caliber team for sure. But, you know, we want to see those type of teams that are going to challenge us. Want to make sure our schedule is up to par for what we're going to see when it comes to playoff time. And really thought that, you know, East was able to show us some things we need to continue to work on. And then.
Oh, no. Somebody did not like what he was saying, Elijah.
Oh, did the radio fairy get him?
Radio fairy. It's him.
Radio fairy is ruthless, man. I mean, it doesn't discriminate either. It doesn't matter if you're a coach of a winning high school football team or Eddie George or whoever it is. You get zapped, you get zapped. The mind's made up.
That's right. My man behind the screen is all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll reset this. We'll get Coach Crouch back. You're watching. You can watch if you want to. Anyway, this is Game Blitz. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz. Let's go back right to the phone line. Coach Josh Crouch at Green Hill. Coach, sorry about that. You still there?
No, Joe, that's completely my fault. I think Chris got me.
You better watch out for him.
Old Hickory Boulevard. I mean, he owns everywhere. So that's getting Chris off of him, man.
That guy, Coach Chris Hughes, for a 55-year-old man, has more energy and athleticism than guys at between 20, 25, and 30 years old.
Me?
Yeah, Coach, we're here.
No.
Oh, no, we got you. Don't hang up. Stay on the raft with me and Jack and who's the other girl in Titanic, Elijah?
Oh, Rose.
Rose. This is Jack and Rose, Coach. Yeah, we're here.
Just
Coach.
Like in the movie. Nope.
He's gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, wait. You there, Coach? All right.
We're back.
All right, don't move.
I don't know what's going on, man.
Just stand there. Don't move.
Here.
All right, Coach, you got a big region win. Now you got two more to finish the season off, but you got an open week. Are you happy you got an open week?
Yeah. No, we definitely – we've got a couple kids banged up. You know, we lost our tight end last week to a fibula. He had surgery. And then had an offensive lineman had surgery. So we've had two broken bones in the last 2 weeks. So that's hard to repair from. But some of the young kids that stepped in tonight played really well. So being able to have an off week to get them caught up and get some things going leadership-wise for our kids is going to be big for us.
Yeah, the Coach Crouch on with us right now from Green Hill. And Coach, I mean, looking at the games you have left, I mean, at Station Camp, he's lost a couple, and you got a big one against Mount Juliet. I mean, there's still a chance to possibly win this region, but that game with Mount Juliet at the very end, not to ask you to overlook Station Camp, because Station Camp's still not a bad football team, but that can be a pretty good collision course game there on October 28th.
Yeah, you know, hopefully we do our job and we get to that situation where, that does have a lot of playoff implications on it. But I've been, so thoroughly impressed with our region, just the amount of the teams and kind of the coaching that goes along with our region is that you've had so many kids, like you mentioned, Station Camp tonight. I know Wilson Central had a big win against Station Camp tonight, but we've got to come out and really take care of business next week because, there could be a 3-4 team tie at the end of this thing. So if we take care of business next week and we play that last game here for senior night at home, with the in county team and local city team, that's going to be a great atmosphere.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And then, Coach, obviously going into the stretch, I mean, it's hard to believe that you've played 8 of your 10 games on your schedule, but you've had a pretty crazy season for your team. You start off that tough loss to Siegel, you reeled off a few wins, had a couple losses, then bounced back tonight. But out of the entire season so far, what have you learned about your football team in 2022, and how can you guys be able to create a roadmap for yourselves to be able to make a good playoff run?
Yeah, I think we're still continuing to grow. I think we've got some things. Was a couple turnover bug a little bit in the last 3 or 4 weeks that we can't have in region play and be successful. And the one loss that we did drop in region, just unfortunate kind of some things that happened. But you kind of see it on Friday night, with Oakland CPA this week. I think high school football is so pure that you never know what's going to happen on any given Friday. So we're just trying to. Luckily, I think we've got everything in our hands. We can control our own destiny kind of thing. So that's the thing that I am super appreciative of. But, as far as our program goes, I think we're learning how to play with depth. We're learning how to, make things happen in tough situations and staying mentally strong. But I think our kids all year have answered the bell, regardless whether it's been, a turnover, having to make a play, or, trying to wipe away at East National loss and coming out tonight with a clear head and scoring 28 points in the first half to allow us to get some of those young guys in and get some time in tonight on Friday. So I was happy with our kids, just how they bounced back after time and time again this year and knowing that we've got a little resiliency to us.
All right, Coach, one more question before we let you go. What's the message to the guys during the open week? I said earlier to a coach, college coach told me during a bye week, he said, 3 things: don't embarrass yourself, don't embarrass your teammates, and don't embarrass your mom. What's your message to your guys? Oh, no, he's gone again. I give those deep Walter Cronkite questions, Elijah. All right, we're good. Hits his phone. We're good. All right, let's move on. Coach, thank you. We'll get you. Elijah's going to take you to the T-Mobile store next week. We'll take care of it. All right, back to the phone lines. Let's bring in. All right, Elijah, you ready for this? Let's bring in the head coach of Centennial, Matt Kreisky, with a huge win tonight. Coach.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. I know it's going crazy over there. Thank you for carving a little time for us. Congratulations on the big win.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Big win for our guys tonight.
What was the message going into this game tonight? Because, Coach, that's a huge win. It's like you said, what was the message?
Well, all week I told the kids, we got to focus on – everybody's got to focus on doing their job. I feel like, the past couple weeks, we doing some things uncharacteristic and not everybody as a group was not getting their job done. I said only we can hurt us. So if everybody tonight would do their job and stay focused and play 4 quarters, it would give us an opportunity to win the game. We started out a little slow. Ravenwood got up on us 14-0, but the kids never quit. They kept fighting. We got a little momentum right before halftime, and I think as we went into halftime, the kids felt like, it was, oh, man, we can play with these guys. So they came out in the second half, and, we made some adjustments, but they came out and ready to play, and they were more focused. our motto all year has been finish. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And these guys were able to finish the game tonight for us.
All right, Coach, you play in such a tough division, and each and every year with Ravenwood and Independence and all the Summit and Centennial, with you guys, Franklin, Brent, everybody out there, you've been in these games before where you've battled, and at the end you just didn't have enough. What's it like now to know your guys are finishing and are fighting for 60 minutes? That's got to be an amazing feeling.
Yeah, it's a great feeling, because you're dealing with the 15, 16, 17-year-old kids. Got a lot going on, a lot of distractions. But these kids were able to keep the composure and not quit. That was one thing I was a little bit worried about when they jumped on us 14-0 real quick. These kids never quit. They kept fighting. They've grown from week one to now. We've really matured as a team, and we're starting to play together. We got to keep getting better each week. Can't be complacent or satisfied with the win over Ravenwood, because here in a couple of weeks we finish the season with Brentwood, and that's going to be a huge game. And looking at the playoff picture, we could. There's a possibility of us finishing first, but there's also a possibility of us finish fourth. As tough as this region is, you've got to be ready to play week in and week out.
Talking to Coach Matt Kreisky of the Centennial Wildcats, Cougars, big win tonight against Ravenwood. You mentioned going down earlier 14-0 to this Ravenwood team who has an incredible offense. But, Coach, at what point in this game did your team – kind of start believing that they can get back in this game despite being down 2 touchdowns to one of the better offenses in the entire state?
We had a big play in the second half with Kenai Johnson. His sophomore receiver made a big play. It tied it up 14-14. And I think that, the kids were like, oh, wow, we can do this. So we went back on defense, and we stopped them, made a stop. We actually scored on the next possession, but it got called back. And then we punted to them, we stopped them. But I think after Kenai's touchdown, the kids really felt like that they could play with them. And actually, I think they started believing that, hey, we can actually win this game.
We're talking to Centennial head football coach Matt Kreisky, the big win tonight over Ravenwood, 28-24. All right, so what do you tell the team after a game like this? I mean, we talk about finishing and all that, but when they actually do it, I mean, what kind of emotions did you have tonight in that locker room?
Well, I told them to, enjoy it, enjoy this weekend, but we're going in fall break too, our off weeks next week, so, we'll practice a little bit, get ready. We have Laverne when we come back from the off week, but, I tell them, we can't be satisfied with just a win over Ravenwood, a really good Ravenwood team. If we're going to finish what we started, we've got to come back and be ready, focused, and ready to finish out the last two games of the season and move forward in the playoffs. So, it's a great win. We all want to enjoy it, but, especially us as coaches, we're always thinking ahead and worried about the next game.
Right.
So we just, can't be satisfied here and can't be just happy off of one win. We've got to finish this season out strong.
How many years have you been at Centennial now?
This is my seventh year.
Seventh year. Have you been at this? Have you been at, 7-1 this late in the season?
Yes, my first year. We finished 9-1.
Not bad. Coach, thank you. I know it was a busy night. We appreciate you for taking time out. Best of luck. We're really excited about your success, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right, Coach. That's Coach Matt Kreisky at Centennial. Well done, Elijah. Well done. I will take a break. We'll come back to the other side. More scores, more coaches, more everything. You're listening to the Game Blitz brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, welcome back into the Game Blitz here on 102.5 The Game. Really love the coaches who come on and carve out. There's a lot of emotional wins tonight, Elijah, for these guys, and for them to carve out time, 5-6 minutes with us to express how they feel and to really compliment their team and the crowd. It means a lot. I mean, we're not at the game, but I get goosebumps a little bit. I know that's weird, but I do.
Yeah, I feel that. I kind of do too as well, especially when you can hear them talk about their teams, especially if they've had to overcome a lot of stuff. You can get that secondhand feeling of accomplishment just based off the tone of their voice and the amount of emotional investment they put into it. It's almost rewarding from that kind of perspective too. It's cool to think about and cool to hear, and it's kind of what makes the sport so special.
It is. All right, what we got next, brother?
All right, my man Noah McKay from the Upper Cumberland Reporter. Speaking of special, we had a special game there tonight. We've been keeping up with it a lot because there are a lot of implications, not just because of a region game, but this was a team between Macon County and Stone Memorial. Stone Memorial was still in the Elijah Campbell undefeated club. They have been politely escorted out as Macon County wins by 1 point later in that game. So Noah joins us right now. He was there reporting for the UC Reporter. Noah, thanks for joining us, man. And go ahead and set the scene. Exactly how did this thing end?
Well, thanks for having me, guys. As always, happy to be here. What a game we had tonight in Crossville. A lot of intrigue in this game. Macon County got hit in the mouth last week by Upperman. Stone Memorial, undefeated, part of the Elijah Campbell undefeated club. And so it was really, and yet, undefeated, but still some question marks. They had the signature win over Upperman, but the question was out there, you know, did they just catch the bees on a bad night? And it was a very interesting game from the start. You got to tip your cap to Kyle Shoulders, the head coach of Macon County. They were well scouted. Stone Memorial does squib kicks on virtually every kickoff, and so they put their electric sophomore Gabe Borders in the middle of their return unit. And sure enough, Stone Memorial does a squib kick. Borders picks it up and takes it to the house on the first play. Then Stone's offense goes three and out, and Macon County promptly blocks the punt. Guess who? Gabe Borders picks it up, scoop and score for the touchdown. And then from that point, though, Stone Memorial settled in, and it turned into a game of runs. Stone routed off 14 unanswered to tie the game at 14. And then Macon County answered with 14 of their own to go up 28-14. And the second half came around. Stone Memorial started moving on the ground. There, what I think is a Mr. Football caliber player, Hunter Hevelin, scored four rushing touchdowns in the game. And Stone went for two earlier on in the game after a missed extra point and did a halfback pass and converted to tie the game at 28. Macon County then gets a 72-yard touchdown pass to guess who? Gabe Borders to take the lead. Stone goes down, drives one more time, scores a touchdown, and Coach Samber for Stone Memorial decides to go for two again, which was shades of the Upperman win for them. They went for two, got it, and won the game. This time they go back to the same play, the halfback pass, and a defensive end for Macon County read it right and broke up the pass that was intended for Hevelin, and Macon County got a really big bounce-back win. They give Stone the first loss, and quite frankly, there's a lot of people in Baxter and in Smithville who are really excited about that game too, because now it is truly a four-team race between those two, Upperman and DeKalb County, and all four of them have a shot to win the region, and it's possible that we have a three- or four-way tie when all things are said and done in Week 11.
Wow, yeah, and that's right. I'm looking at the standings right now, Noah. Four teams with one loss. Now, next week, there's going to be, I believe, DeKalb County and Upperman play?
Correct, and that's our game of the week next week. And so The conventional wisdom is that will separate one of those two teams. DeKalb County really is the team that kind of controls their own destiny because they face Upperman in the last week of the season. They welcome in Stone Memorial as well. So if they win both of those games, they'll be in a real strong spot. But I'll tell you guys, the real key here is this region is loaded. Four top 10 teams, they all are legit teams. The real key is to not be fourth because fourth has to play Red Bank in the first round at Red Bank. And I think all of these teams feel like they're primed to perhaps win multiple playoff games, but you don't want to start that run taking a trip to Chattanooga to take on the Lions. So while winning the region in the home playoff games will be important, not being that four seed in some ways is even more important.
Yeah, it's true. You look at it. I mean, East Hamilton's had a pretty solid season so far, but you much rather play Chattanooga Central or Hickson, or maybe if East Ridge gets lucky and gets in there, you'd love to have to get a shot at them instead. But Noah, appreciate you joining us, man. Thanks for the recap of this game. That sounded like it was incredibly exciting, and you get a front row seat at one of the more exciting regions in TWSAA football. So as always, thanks for joining us, man, and looking forward to hearing what you got next week, because DeKalb County and Upperman sounds like it should be every bit as good as the game you had tonight.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, guys. You guys do an awesome job. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, thank you, Noah.
From the UC Reporter.
All right, Elijah, next. We got a special coach. Let's bring in the head coach of Waverly, Coach Randall Bolden. And any football coach who gets up with me at 5 o'clock in the morning to do a TV spot is special. Coach Bolden is that. Congratulations, Coach. What a season you're having. Congrats on the big win tonight.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
A great win. You're 6-1 now. You're rolling along. You're 7-1. I'm sorry. What's working for your team? Because we sit here and saw your football team on Friday Night Football against White House. You're back and forth. It was a tough game. And you guys, from that moment on, Coach, you win 32-21. You haven't stopped. What was the secret in that football game that has kind of been a catalyst for how good you're playing now?
Well, we just had some kids that grew up in certain positions. Other than that, you know, just execution. Just making sure we're bringing the intensity of practice every week and, you know, preparing for opponents the correct way.
All right, well done. And I got to ask you this, too. I mean, you've got Waverly's not down the road. It's a long way to go. When I played high school football, our longest trip was maybe 10, 15 miles. So you're taking this team. You go to White House, Stewart County, back to White House again. These road games aren't easy for that for your football team. But you seem so prepared, and you're doing fantastic on the road. Is there a secret? Is it us against the world mentality?
Well, we, as coaches, you know, we actually kind of like road games better. Not to say we don't love being at home. It's just there's less distractions when you're going on the road. You know, you're getting out of school, you're getting on the bus, you're going to play football. So there's no time for your mind to wonder anything with the kids. You ain't got to worry about where their head's at. So, you know, road games are a nice change of pace for us. Now, that's coming from someone that didn't get to play a home game last year. But,
right.
We certainly love being at home, but we like our road trips. We like the way our kids prepare for road trips, and it's just kind of been that way with us.
That goes Randall Bolden right now from the Waverly Tigers. Big 48-13 win over White House Heritage tonight. And Coach, you kind of alluded to last year being the year where all your games were road games, but given that the season you had to play last year. And then the season you've had this year, all that emotional disturbance and everything that your team has gone through the last 2 years, to be able to put up the season you've had so far has to feel incredibly rewarding.
Well, I mean, it's a great feeling for our kids, I know. But, you know, we try not to dwell on too many things. So we just focus every week on who we got next. And we got to, you know, approach practice that way. So, now – it'd be kind of crazy to think that the adversity these kids went through last year, they're not a strong football team as far as strong-minded. They are. They're very strong-minded. They've been through a lot of adversity. And, you know, they just keep showing up to work every day, and it's a joy to coach them.
Mm-hmm. And, Coach, as of right now, by my count, it looks like you guys have 5 games where you've scored at least 47 points. That's half your season. If you don't score any in the next 2 games, half your games involve your team scoring at least 47 points. That's really remarkable. But what makes your offense tick the way that it does, and how has it been able to kind of sustain that throughout the season?
You know, if you look at us, you know, obviously up front, we've got a pretty experienced group up front. They do a really good job for us. It all starts there. But outside of that, you know, we have 5 or 6 guys that we count on, we rely on. So it's just, you know, whatever the defense is going to give us, we call someone else's number. They got to step up and make plays. So, you know, I think our kids, you know, they love that mindset because you never know who's getting the ball, when they're getting it. Even if you go back to the White House game, we had a kid that came off an injury from week one, ended up scoring 2 touchdowns in that game for us. It's just, you know, when your number's called, you got to make a play, and that's kind of like how we like to play offensively. But, you know, I think our defense has done a really good job as far as, you know, getting turnovers and plus territory and things like that for us most of the year.
We're talking to Randall Bolden, head football coach at Waverly. And, Coach, we had Chris Hughes on from Fairview earlier. We talked about facing you at the end of the season. He's like, you know what, I'm not thinking about that right now, because if we don't win our next game, then that game against Waverly doesn't mean anything. Is that kind of the same attitude you have? Is like, all right, we got the fall break. Now the most important game on our schedule is the next one. That's Cheatham County. Then we'll think about Fairview. Is that how you approach it?
Yes, sir. That's exactly how I approach it. I got to laughing with the reporter this afternoon, and you know, I always forget who we have next. Like, I'm so focused on who we're playing now, I have no idea who we're playing the next week. And that's a reality that I live in. That's my little bubble in my head. And you know, I do know who we have because we only have 2 game regular season games left. So I know they're big region games, and you know, we've got to get focused on Cheatham County as soon as Sunday rolls around.
And coach, you guys have a interesting schedule thing here where you didn't play last week, and then you have another open week this upcoming week, and then you have the two games against Cheatham County and Fairview. But what's it kind of like trying to reestablish a rhythm after having a 2 bye week and 3 week kind of deal?
Well, it certainly worries them as a coach anyway. So we're trying to balance it the best we can. We're just coming off fall break this week where we had a game, and then we had a bye week last week and a bye week this next week. So going back execution, going back to mechanics and just keeping the kids loose and fresh and making sure they get healed up this little stretch heading to the playoffs.
Coach Bolden, thank you for this. I know you got a long drive home, but it's better when you get a big win on the road. Thank you. Much success. We'll talk to you down the road, Coach. Thank you.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you all.
Yes, sir. Coach Randall Bolden of Waverly, big win tonight in that showdown. He's not going to talk about Elijah, but we are. That big showdown versus Fairview in Waverly. That last week 11 of high school football season down there, you know, he talked about being on the road last year all the time, and now they're home, and if they both can win their next game and go into that game with the region on the line, my goodness, I hope half of West Tennessee shows up at Waverly High School for that game.
Oh, it has. I hope so. So bad. I mean, we kind of gave it the premature tab of the week 11 game blitz game of the week, but it really would be, because that is a region championship. We talk about a lot of like the de facto region championships that you get, like kind of like Page Nolansville tonight, even though I think it's Nolansville still has to beat Franklin County. That's not going to be an easy game, but tonight felt like a region championship game. That one will literally be a region championship game if both these teams take care of business against Cheatham County and Sycamore. Then we're talking about a legit region championship game. And at a place like Waverly, with all they've gone through, to be able to host essentially a region championship game is going to be a really, really cool environment. And I just hope as many people that can get out there do get out there and get to experience that, because it's going to be special.
Because if Elijah says so, he says so, right? That's well done. All right, we got one more hour. All right, Elijah, rest your voice, because you got to take the scoreboard update in about 5 minutes, okay?
I've been doing. I was mute my mic during these interviews, doing the vocal exercises. Burgundy, unique New York.
I love it. All right, Elijah's got the full scoreboard up there. We got more coaches, everything on the other side. One more hour of the best high school football show. I think the best radio show in America, right here on 102.5 The Game. Listen to The Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.